Ding. And recording. All right. Whence last we broke. This is Palace Pages, February 4th, 2024. With three sessions total between now and the 35th annual Low Moon Retreat. It's not remaining. We'll talk about that later. When we left our intrepid young heroes, Palace Pages and recent abductee, they had gone to an orphanage, which they believed, though they had not confirmed, they believed was the home orphanage of a young girl named Brayden, who was being abused by the owner-operator of the orphanage, and they were supposed to do whatever was necessary to put an end to the abuse. Upon arriving at the orphanage, you talked to the old woman who was at the desk. She told you that they did have a girl there named Brayden. And without getting into the details of the exact order, Selena and Dan had gone into the courtyard / backyard of the orphanage where the girl was seen sitting. On a kind of a bench on the backside and not playing with the other kids who were playing on the ground. And she is one of the older kids that you saw. And she's probably about your age, 10, 11 years old. Human equivalent. And you saw that there was a man who apparently was the owner-operator of the orphanage. And Dan actually saw that she had possibly been just getting scolded or something like that. Dan had gone out with the intention of interacting with them and then had veered off and actually had gone to the fence, realizing there was no easy way to leave the courtyard. And Selena had rushed back into the courtyard at that moment in time. And so basically what we have is you have, I'll show you a little bit here. You have the man is approaching Dan. Dan's on the fence. The man is approaching Dan. There are kids playing here. Brayden is here. And then here is Selena, who has just entered the backyard.
And I'm approaching to go help Dan.
Yep. And then still back further this way is the building, the house, if you will. And there's like a porch. And then just on the other side of the porch, there's a big foyer. So it's technically inside the building. And then to the as you came through from the front lobby to the left was stairs going up. And coming down those stairs is the lady that you talked to at the front desk, okay? And that's where Rosie is standing. So basically, Rosie's back here. The lady is coming down toward her. Selena is out here. Oh, these are the kids. All right, so it's okay. So this will be Selena. Selena's coming out here. The man is heading toward Dan at the fence, and Brayden is back here, okay? We didn't break up the miniatures, but it's okay because we won't be here long. All right?
Miniatures?
Yeah, we have little plastic people that we could use to represent the places if we really wanted to, but we're not going to be there that long.
I'm just taking my stuff back now.
Okay. Whatever makes you happy. Within reason. All right. And so, that is the situation that you have put yourself in. And sound effect real quick. Just outside the fence, you do know that the town is there and you're not far from the marketplace, and you do hear quite a few different sounds coming from outside the fence. But getting over the fence there wasn't time to get over the fence before he came to interact with you, and that's where you were actually at. Okay? So he is approaching you at the fence. You are heading to kind of involve yourself in that conflict. You see the lady come down the stairs. What do you do, starting with Dan?
We're being chased.
I think you drew your short sword, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I had my hand on it.
Okay, so you hadn't drawn it. Right. So you have your hand on your short sword, or did.
Yeah.
So what did you do?
I asked the guy, saying, are you the owner of this orphanage? Just kidding.
I am? What's it to you? You can't be in here.
Yeah, we kind of figured.
And no weapons allowed.
I'm not going to draw it.
You should have been waiting in the lobby.
He's brandishing his cane as if it is a weapon. He's pointing it toward you, I guess.
We were actually waiting in the lobby. But then we kind of on a time crunch here, so we...
Okay. I As they are continuing to talk, what are you doing?
Just want to go over and I'm going to stand next to Dan and just help with the conversation.
Okay, so you're basically stepping up next to him. Okay, and you have your staff in hand.
I do.
All right.
But I'm going to tell him I'm not good with it.
Let me say, I'm not good with this staff? That's what you're saying?
Not a good thing to say.
He says, put it away.
Okay, he hasn't said anything about it yet. All right.
I don't know how to use it. I just have it for the co-op.
Okay, so that's what's unfolding in the garden. You can see that before you, and she's coming down the steps, and she was only like probably 5 steps away from you, and she's back out. What are you doing? Go out.
Who?
To Rosie.
Oh.
Why?
So what are you doing?
I don't know what she's saying.
She's saying go out. Like, go back outside, back to the lobby, back to the street, whatever. She's pointing back the way you came.
Okay. Go back to the lobby.
Why?
Are you saying why? She says, you're not allowed to be in here! And she's like, approaching you within arm's reach now.
Okay.
Are you backing up? Okay, toward the lobby. Okay, so she just keeps coming toward you and backing you out toward the lobby, and then once you get in the lobby, she's trying to back you toward the door, like, so you can get outside. Okay? So you hear her shouts a little bit from inside, but you don't know exactly what's going on. And she's come to stand next to you, and he sets up, he says, I'll teach you whippersnappers a thing or two, and you may roll initiative.
Okay.
What's initiative?
The beginning of combat, you roll a d6, add your dex bonus, find out who goes fastest.
6.
We're gonna fight?
Yeah, he's gonna hit you with this cane, apparently. Are you surprised?
Come on.
No.
Okay, roll a d6 then.
I rolled a 6.
Okay. So you don't have your sword out currently, but you could do something else, so.
I'm not surprised, he's a grumpy old man. 6. I hope I didn't hide up.
So now that one of you are surprised as he's coming at you with a cane, he does have his cane in hand. You have your staff in hand. You do not have your sword in hand. What are your dex bonuses?
I don't think I have one.
I don't think so either. I think you have 6.
16.
So you have +1. All right, so you go first. What do you do? He is clearly going to swing his cane at either you or Dan. You're not sure which.
I don't know.
You could hit him with your staff. You could step up and try to block his strike with your staff. You could run away.
I'm gonna hit him with my staff.
Okay.
Because I can get to him before, because my staff is longer than his cane. Right?
Yeah, a little bit. But in any case, you may roll a d20 to hit.
I had a feeling we were going to fight. We're turning. You said the tables are going to turn.
Okay. So you swing the staff at him. He jumps back and it whishes past, and then he lunges in again to attack with the cane. What are you doing?
I'm drawing my short sword.
Okay, so you're drawing your short sword. So you cannot draw it. You can use it at the end of the round. Okay, so on initiative 1. All right, so he steps forward. He is going to attack one of you with the cane. It's going to be eeny, meeny, miny, moe. He sees you have a sword. He sees you just missed with your staff, so he's going to attack you. Yep, he's going to attack you. And then...
He was not a dodge.
Probably could block.
He hits you with the cane for 4 points of damage.
Wow.
Okay. So he's drawing the sword and he's kind of like leaning back away from the strike. And the guy comes in and the cane hits him on the side of the head and shoulder. And he slams sideways into the wall and it looked like it was a strong shot.
I have one hit
almost,
point left.
It almost took him out. Okay. But you do nonetheless manage. Leave the main number there and just put the wounds over on the right.
Wait, okay. Can a sword cut wood?
It can, but not easily.
If I hit it far enough, probably.
Yeah, it'd have to be the right angle or a good blow. But usually, like, if you have a staff or a cane, you can deflect the sword blow without any real harm to the wood. In any case, so you have managed to draw the short sword. And he has pressed in on you. And so he is standing so that... You're slightly on his forward left, and you're slightly on his forward right. So you are slightly on the guy's forward right, so reversed. and you're slightly on his left. And the wall is to your right. You don't have anywhere to go.
Okay. So I decide I'm going to try to swing with my sword.
You're going to try to hit him? Roll a d20.
Cut his eye off.
That's nine.
Okay. You do not hit him. So you swing, and, you know, he parries it with the cane, and the two of you go back and forth a little bit. It's okay. You think Dan looks reasonably skilled with that sword compared to what you've known him to be before. But nonetheless, he does not manage to land a bow. You both may roll initiative.
All right.
This is a new round.
Three.
Six.
So. Well, I'm okay. Slow because you're back.
So, you go first. What would you like to do?
I want to hit him.
You do appear at this point to be in mortal danger. He and Dan are back and forth parrying and striking. You've swung at him a couple of times and missed. He swung at you a couple of times and missed. And then you may try to hit him with your staff. In initiative six. Well, seven, really. Did you roll six?
Yeah.
So it's really seven. Remember, we always had plus one.
Seven or up?
Seven or up.
No.
What do you mean?
You rolled a d6. You rolled a six. You get plus one on initiative. The total is seven.
Okay.
So every time you roll that d6... For initiative, always add plus one.
Right.
Now you can roll to hit, d20.
15.
Aha, that might be enough.
At least get him underwater.
That is enough. Okay, yeah. So you managed to hit. You have a 20 THACO, and you rolled 15, so you hit with a 5. You hit an AC5, and he is AC5. So you roll a d6 for damage.
But it damaged
me. In the lobby.
Not him. You're damaging him. You hit him with your staff. You're rolling damage. See how badly you hit him.
17.
A d6. The staff does a d6 damage.
Six.
There you go. All right. So you hit him for 4 points of damage. Okay. He looks utterly surprised. Like, he can't believe that you just hit him. He's like, ah! And he steps back. And you did hit him on, like, the back of the arm. And you can see a welt rising already from the strike. And you were a little surprised, too, that it's probably the first time you've ever really hit a person with your weapon.
I've hit a lot of people with my weapon.
Yeah, but not
both. Inspiring. Okay. Anyway, and... So, let's see. His morale could break under the circumstances.
What's the morale?
So, morale is like how you feel about continuing to fight. So if his morale breaks, then he would run or do something else other than continuing to fight. But it did not, so he's continuing to fight.
Gosh.
So he goes next, and now he's afraid of you because you hit him with the staff. So now he's going to hit you with his cane if he can.
No, thank you.
Which he will hit.
No.
And?
No, I want to die. Ugly.
3 points of damage. Take 3 points of damage.
Ow.
How much damage do you have?
Four.
So you are at one also. So if either one of you gets hit again, you will go unconscious, most likely.
Oh, God.
I want to yell her name, but I don't want y'all hearing
me. I don't want to die.
I mean, you can yell. The door's open. She probably would hear you.
For Rosie?
I could do that.
Yeah. He said he was thinking about yelling for Rosie.
I might do it too.
Yeah. Think for too long and you'll be unconscious, unless you hit. Roll to hit.
On my next turn, I'm going to do it, I think.
So can I yell?
Yes, you can always yell.
Rosie!
Yeah?
Help!
Doesn't seem like this the kind of yell where he was going to have a conversation with you. It seems more like the kind of yell like they're in trouble.
Okay.
Rosie, help me!
Roll a d6.
Five.
Okay, so
they
exchange blows again.
Really?
And then finally, Dan manages to land a cut with the short sword across his thigh. And
ow.
So he has a nasty cut on his thigh. And he says, okay, so then he says, he swings the cane a couple times, and then as he backs up, he says, you'll pay for this!
Guys.
And then he limps away.
So his wanting to fight book?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at that point, she has backed you out into the street, but the door was still open, and you heard your friends yelling for help. What were you doing?
Running towards them.
Okay, so you're going to slip past the lady, basically. She doesn't have a weapon. She was just intimidating you, so... All right, so you slip past the heavyset old woman and run back out there, and you see, as you run back out there, you see the guy that they were fighting is running right towards you, and you come up in the doorway just as he is coming to the doorway as well.
Watch
and
out,
you need to roll
Fozzie.
To see if you are surprised. So you roll a d6.
I'm going
to
yell, watch
and if you roll
out,
a 1,
Fozzie.
You'll be surprised. Okay, so you're not surprised as he comes.
Watch out.
He does have his cane in his hand. Do you have a weapon? I don't remember what you have.
I think she has a staff.
Okay, so you have a staff in your hand. So you could try to hit him, or you could just try to get away, or what do you want to try to do? He's charging towards you. He's already wounded. It's clear they were fighting him.
I yell, watch out, Rosie.
Okay, so...
Watch out, Rosie!
So what do you want to do?
As soon as I realize he's going for her,
I'll hit him.
Okay, roll a d20. So the big dice...
You said hit him where his roach is. That'll hurt.
8.
Okay, so you take a swing at him, and unfortunately he parries the staff with his cane, and then he says, "Ah, they're everywhere!" And he is trying to slip past you to the stairs. Whoops, that was the wrong button. Anyway, do you continue to fight him, or are you letting him go upstairs?
Let him go upstairs.
Okay, so he slips past you and limps up the stairs. He's not going real fast, he's kind of like hobbling. But he does get up the stairs out of view after a moment. And you hear the woman obviously had come to see the two of you exchanging blows. And now she runs out the front door and she's yelling, "Guard! Guard!"
All right, over the fence. Over the fence.
You don't expect that the guard will be here that quickly. You could probably go out the door.
No, over the fence.
It would be faster to go out the door.
Yeah. We're out the door.
Are you doing anything else? You have technically not ended her being abused.
I run
you may
to
have,
the
if she
girl.
Is if he is abusing her, you may have just made it worse, not better.
I run to the girl and I ask her in a hurry, "Has he been hurting you?"
Okay, roll percentile dice. You want a high number. Because you're trying to influence her.
Two.
And she is scared.
32.
Okay. She says, "Who are you?"
"I'm Dan, and I don't want to know with you."
That's not important. "Has he been hurting you?"
Okay, roll again. You need a higher number if you're going to influence
51.
Her to answer.
Ooh, that's a good number.
Nope, she's not answering. She looks visibly scared.
Just
in fact,
tell
she gets up
me.
And moves behind the bench so that the bench is between you and her.
Okay.
Tell her who you are and be
my
friendly.
Name is Dan.
What are you doing during this time?
I'm following Dan.
Okay, so she arrives at this point in time, she arrives behind you and Rosie arrives behind her. The kids in the area then basically get up and they hide behind trees and they hide in bushes and stuff. And so they are very
all right,
intimidated
guys, we're
by
not going to hurt anybody. Not any kids. We're trying... We just need to know, are you getting hurt? My name is Dan, Cicelina, and Rosie. We're here to help. Are you getting abused by that one guy?
So, just in general, you think probably Selena or maybe even Rosie might be better at convincing them.
Can one of you guys step in?
Yeah, so he looks at you like, hello?
Hello? Why, if one of them do, I run to the door to make sure the guard's not
I step up.
So Dan takes off running toward, limping toward the door.
I step up to talk to her. Hi, my name's Selena, and we just want to know if he's ever hurt you. We're not here to hurt anybody, and we don't want... to take anything. All we want to know is if he's been hurting you.
Okay, so she stutters and says, "I don't understand," but as she's doing that, it's clear that she, like, the wheels are turning. She's thinking about answering you. Roll percentile dice. You need a high number. Percentile dice are the two D10s read in order, and you start getting used to which ones are which. I've been playing this for like 6 times.
I'm trying to figure it out.
Percentile dice, 10s, 1s.
28.
Okay, you guys are not good at rolling dice today. That's not a high number.
Okay. High-ish.
What is your reaction percentage bonus, though? Because you do have a high charisma, so.
I'm just trying to be as friendly as I possibly can.
She still seems suspicious, but she does say...
I even, like, note down when I was talking to her.
Oh, okay. She does say, I don't know who you are or why you're here, but... And she looks at the other kids. Yes. He does hurt me.
Is it only you?
I mean, I think so. I don't know what he has against me specifically. I've only been here a couple of months. Okay. You hear one of the kids yell, and Dan has reached the porch and is going to look and see if guards are coming. But you hear one of the kids yell, "The guards are coming!" Even though there's no way they can possibly see better than Dan can. You don't see the guards yet. But you hear one of the kids yell, "The guards are coming!"
Do I hear that?
Are they just doing it to
scare us? I kind of stop and... I stop what I'm doing and run towards the gate, or the fence.
So you're going back into the garden, but toward the fence where the fight was, basically. Okay.
See if I can, like, see them coming towards us.
Okay. So after a moment you arrive there, you do not see the guards yet. Meanwhile, so you have managed to convince her to at least communicate, but she definitely does not understand what's going on. She seems very suspicious. She says, I think you may be just making it worse for me.
I know, that's why we needed to figure this out so we can make it better. I promise. That's the only reason we wanted to know is so we can try to help you. We've been sent specifically to help you.
Really?
Yes.
Who cares about me?
Okay. I just
read you.
Okay.
And our master.
Okay, roll percentile dice again.
Master's a tree.
Roll percentile dice again. Oh, we have a long distance. We have a lot of ground to cover before we're done.
98.
Ah, there we go. Now we're talking. Okay. She says, okay, let's say I believe you. And she's visibly calming down. It's true. And you are here, and I have hoped for someone to come and help me, but I thought I was hoping in vain. Let's say maybe you are here to help me. How can you help me? I mean, short of killing him, once you leave, he's just going to go back to doing what he's been doing. Probably even worse. He scolded me right before you came out here because... someone came to the front desk asking about me. So he knows that you're here for me. I'm going to be in big trouble.
Can I run back over to them?
Sure.
I'll keep an eye
out. I do.
What?
I'm keeping an eye out. The only thing I want to do is talk to Old Teal.
We can't, though.
Yeah, we can. Stones. With his kids around us.
Yeah, we can't. We're not allowed.
Not supposed to let people know. It is supposed to be secret.
Well,
extreme discretion must be practiced by agents of Old Tier.
I'm not going to do it, but that's what I want to do.
So she's just stating her feelings. Okay, so then what do you do?
What do I do?
So,
I'm going to answer her question, basically.
Okay, how do you answer?
Well, the only thing that we can do right now is just try to work this through. He's being mean. Please don't laugh at me. He's
stop. Just realize that you feel a sense of urgency. That's what I'm saying. You're plotting, you're talking calmly or whatever, but realize you just got smacked with a cane near to unconsciousness. Just
if I show her that I'm worried, what do you think's going to happen?
I understand. The guards are coming, so you have very little time.
Okay.
Your heart is still pounding in your chest.
We don't have much time, but we're going to try to work everything
through, and we'll contact you the best way that we can.
Okay.
I promise.
Hopefully he doesn't kill me before tomorrow.
I promise we'll try to help you.
Am I over there?
Sure.
I do say we could possibly bring you to a different orphanage.
I don't know if you could do that, but that would be stupid.
Maybe. It'd have to be in a different part of the city because the guards are the ones who put me here.
Oof.
So if it's not pretty far away, they'd probably just bring me back.
So would somebody be able to adopt you?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
Orphanage.
Nobody ever gets adopted, though.
Well, it's possible if we could get somebody to help us.
We can't adopt them. We're children.
Exactly. If we could get somebody to help us.
No, she just said we could adopt children.
If we get somebody to help us, we could set you free.
Yeah. Okay, so you think a couple things. For one, Rosie thinks if you could get a hold of your cousins, one of them would probably take her. You know, and get her out of town or whatever like that. But the problem is they're missing. So you don't know. Can't do that. Yeah. And then you think it's entirely possible that if you took her back to the retreat, because you have, both of you have pretty good relationships with the people that you work with and stuff like that. I think there's a half decent chance that they would just take her on as a page. But bear in mind, that life is not for everybody. She would be a servant. She would have to follow the rules.
We would have to talk to her first.
Yeah, so you'd have to offer it and see if...
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. There's one thing I can think of. We are pages.
Okay, roll a d20. I'm listening.
Would you want to be a page too? Would you prefer this?
It's better than here. Okay. So you hear what sounds like heavy booted men in formation coming down the street. Probably half dozen or eight of them, you think.
We really gotta go.
We don't is it only
She's the only one who knows that right now because she stayed over by the fence to listen to the guards.
I hear a footprint. I hear people coming.
Okay. She said,
it's got to be
the guard.
It got to be the guard.
If you don't have any authority to do what you've done here, you guys are going to get arrested. He's a prominent citizen.
He was trying to kill us.
But you broke into the orphanage. He was probably in the right.
We didn't break in.
Technically, we didn't break in.
We were out in the front yard.
You definitely did not have permission to come in here and attack him. That is for sure.
He attacked us first, and we were out in the yard.
Self-defense.
I mean, if you think you can convince the guard, but I don't know them to be reasonable.
I'm getting over this fence and leaving.
Anyway, if you think you can find a position for me as a page, or whatever you call it.
Yes, page.
Then I'll go with you.
You need to come with us.
Okay.
Because you can't stay here.
If you'll come with us, we've got to go down.
Okay. She says, I know another way out. Follow me.
Okay. Everybody, let's go. Let's go.
She turns and runs deeper.
Don't say anything about this. Bye. Tell the other kids. Please don't tell them.
Okay. You're telling the kids don't say anything. Okay.
Oh, keep talking to me.
Okay. So you pick your way through the garden. At the back of the garden, there is a gate. And it looks like it's concealed from the outside, but from the inside, it's pretty obvious that it has a latch.
I knew.
And she goes to open the latch, which is stuck because it's not used often. And it does not open. Like, she pushes it up and she's trying to open it, but it doesn't open.
Her.
Okay. Roll a d6. This is just pushing it up with your hand.
Five.
Okay, yeah, you would agree. It's pretty rusted shut.
Watch out, and I'm going to try to bang it with my staff like I did with the door, but it was stuck.
I'll help her, too.
Okay, both of you can roll a d20.
We're just going to use our staff and go, 1, 2, 3, ha! Okay. Just trying to get it up.
Both of you can roll a d20.
Five.
No, d20.
D20. Oh, d20 is the one with all 13. The stats. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Nice.
12.
And what did you roll, Ariana?
13.
Okay. So both of you strike the gate near the latch and also hit the latch a little bit. And then Dan tries again to push it open and it opens. All right.
Perfect. So we just loosened it up a bit.
As you're going out the gate, I mean, kind of like glancing over your shoulder, you look and you see all the foliage, just like trimmed bushes and trees and stuff like that. Looking through, you can see the house and you see some of the kids here and there. But you see on the second story of the house, the owner of the orphanage, owner, operator of the orphanage, is in the window of the second story of the house. Are you quickly fleeing out the gate?
Is he looking at us?
And guards are entering the front. Yes, he is looking at you.
I run out.
Okay, so he is going to fire a crossbow.
Oh, God!
At the three of you as you retreat. So
I wish I had power.
Four of you. As you, it will be random as to which one of you it might potentially hit, and there will you'll have 30% cover if it's targeting you. It's
going to
be one, two, three, and she is four. Okay, and so it is Rosie. And you go shoot, and he misses. So just as you are going out the door, a crossbow bolt hits the wall right next to the gate, right next to your head. And a little bit of like splinters fly in your hair and stuff, but you're not
hurt.
I don't
know how that feels.
Okay. And then everybody's out the gate. Brayden slams the gate behind you. And then she says, this way. And she takes you off down the alleyways. So it turns out that Brayden knows the back streets of Southern Miss Cove fairly well. And you'll quickly find out that she was an orphan on the streets for several years before she was caught stealing, arrested and found guilty by the local magistrate, and assigned to the orphanage under that gentleman's care. He's been abusing her for the last several months, ever since she became in his orphanage, under the guise of training her to not do what she used to do, which is steal and be manipulative and like that. And basically, she's a thief. That's what she does. She was a member of what she calls her family, which is a local gang. And she could just release back onto the street, but then anytime she gets nabbed for anything, she would be thrown back into the orphanage. So, knowing that, she asks you if you're still willing to take her to see if she can be a page, or if you just want her to go.
We'll take you to a page.
Okay.
Look, do we just give it to them? Do we sell it to them? To the palace?
No, you would have to talk somebody, somebody of importance, into accepting her as a page, basically.
Okay, and see.
If they disagree, they would probably take her into custody and ship her back to the orphanage, most likely.
Fingers crossed this works.
Okay.
Let me do the talking.
All right.
I'm good at convincing people. I convinced her, but Dan just made everything worse.
Yeah. What is Rosie's charisma, by the way? Look on your character sheet. Look at your...
What's your charisma?
The bottom two stats. They're side by side. Flip it over here. Right there. Help her find it, Ariana. It's the bottom stat. Bottom box.
Bottom box? Oh.
There should be two 15, numbers.
15, 11.
Okay, so she has a good charisma. She's not, like, as pretty, but she's very charismatic.
And I am 16.
Living with what you are. All right. So you're the most charismatic person in the party, which means you're most easily able to influence. After you is her, and he is a distant third. So he is not the guy you want doing all this.
I will do it.
So he is extremely handsome, but he's not good at convincing people or that kind of thing.
I will do the talking.
Yeah, if you want to, we're going to talk to a woman or a girl, a young lady or a girl, and try to convince them of something. He's the one you want doing the talking, but otherwise, he's not the guy.
Nope. Yeah. So I'll do it. He did not matter who it is.
He's super, super handsome, but not very good charismatic.
I'm pretty and I know how to talk, so.
Yep. Okay, so anyway, you pick your way through the streets of Southern Miss Cove with Brayden leading. She takes you to the gate. You leave there, you leave through the marketplace, and you join a small party of servants that are headed back up to the royal retreat. As you approach the retreat, it strikes you again. How beautiful is this majestic palace that lays out across the countryside, rolling hills, surrounded with a low wall, mountains in the background, and so on. Also, after wandering through the streets and giving the guards the slip, which there was a couple of times the guards were kind of close, and you were like, oh no, we're going to get caught, and she managed to help you stay away from them. But after all of that, you realize it's much later than you thought. The sun is already setting in the western sky. So it's like time that you needed to be getting back to the retreat anyway, and should be dinner time, and you haven't eaten, and so you start thinking, I'm hungry, and we got it's a lot to do today. And so
if it starts to get dark, I'm taking Brandon's hand because he's a human and more open, and we can see it on the
right.
Okay.
You know, we're going down the hole. We still have to do that.
Did you know we are?
Yeah, it's obvious.
Pointy ears.
And
pointy ears. Oh, I forgot.
Bizarre hair color. Skin is
it's kind of harder to tell.
Like really, skin is really like
sticks out.
No, they're tall enough points that unless they are really intentional, like make their hair poofy, usually the points will stick out of your hair. So, okay. Well, anyway, so arriving back at the retreat, you realize that something has changed. There is a royal coach, which was not here before, and the princess is not due until tomorrow morning. When you left, they told you that you didn't have any rush or whatever, that she wasn't going to come until the next day, or possibly the day after that. But now there is a royal coach sitting in the courtyard of the retreat, which is a cobblestone, like individual stones yard. It's a like a carriage wagon that people ride in for the roof. And this has to be gilded in gold, and it's made of cherry wood, and it has... four big white chargers, which are big horses that are so like their butt is 2 feet above your head. They're very tall and strong, like over 6 feet at the back. Anyway, and there are knights and guards around and so on. And in particular, there's a line of servants that leads from the royal coach to the building, the main building where you were in before. And there's a red carpet that's been laid from the coach to the door. And they're all still standing there, but no one is. Doesn't appear that there's anyone in the coach. Okay, that whoever it is has gone inside, but they're all still standing there. And so you slip in. One of the squires grabs you and has you like take a place in line and stand there. Yeah. And he just at that point he just assumes Brayden is part of your troop and puts you there as well, even though she's not really dressed right. She's wearing very worn out peasant's clothes, and has no shoes. And so even so, they kind of just shuffle her into line and you wait. Yeah. And then after a few moments, the carriage, which you thought was empty, another a young woman who's probably she appears to be elven. So you would guess her to be maybe, you know, about your age. And she as a human, she looks like she's maybe like 14, 15. So she's probably a little older than you. Anyway, she gets out of the carriage and she enters in. Roll a d20.
Maybe she's a princess.
Maybe not.
The princess is not an elf.
17.
Okay. So yeah. You are...
No, like the princess of this
not, none of you recognize her or whatever, but she is dressed in, like, a little finer clothes. She's wearing a light blue top, gray skin pants, white, low, soft boots. So she's a little nicer. She doesn't have any weapons. And she gets, and she looks a little self-conscious. So she gets out of the wagon, the carriage, and she comes about like a third of the way toward the building. And then she realizes like everyone is looking at her, and she runs. And she runs into the building.
Oh, embarrassed.
Apparently. Okay. And then at that point in time, everybody's breaking up, and they pick up the red carpet, and they start dealing with the carriage and everything like that. At which point in time, Ralph finds the four of you.
Oh, hey, Ralph.
Hey, where have you guys been?
We'll tell you, but you have to come in our rooms first. We can't tell you.
I have things I have to do. Do you know what's been going on here?
Madam.
No one knows why, but the princess showed up early. Like, she wasn't supposed to be here until tomorrow or the next day. She's in the building.
I'm so...
And...
I'm thinking, like, is this our fault?
Well, you're thinking that?
Yeah.
And just as you're thinking that, he says, and she's asking for you.
Let's go. I'm going. Wait, okay. Does the princess know me?
No.
Oh, I'm so worried.
You've never even been to the capital.
But she favors me. The princess favors me.
Do you know where she...
You got struck by lightning while you were on an errand.
Yeah.
Do you know where she is?
And it was the princess's fault, so...
Yeah. Let's go around the back way and I'll lead you in. And you're going to have to get rid of your weapons and... And probably clean up a little bit.
Yay! Okay.
Good, fun. Sure.
Brayden says, should I go? I don't yes, you think need I'm come. Part of this.
You need to come.
Ralph says, who's this?
We'll explain later.
I'm just in your
Come on with me and explain while we're going.
Okay. Well, we have to tell them that we're safe. We can't know about Lord Teal.
Basically, we were walking to the market. I bought rope. We were told by our master to save her from someone that was kept abusing her.
Your master?
Please.
Your palace pages.
Never mind.
Was it a knight?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you suddenly feel like maybe you told him too much already.
Yep.
Okay.
But it's fine.
So anyway, so you're supposed to save her. Now you did. Now why is she here?
We're going to try to get her a palace page.
Because she came from an orphanage that somebody's abusing her. And we're going to try to get her a palace page so she doesn't get killed.
Okay. So at this point, he leads you into a small back room. And he has a bowl of water and a pitcher and a towel and stuff so you can wash your face and hands. Because you're grimy from traveling and in the alleyways. And your boots are dirty. And I mean,
clean everything off.
Yeah. So clean yourself up. He says, and she cannot go in to see the princess. That would be a huge breach of security. How do you know she's not an assassin out to kill the princess or poison her or something?
Because our master knows about her. And he told us...
Don't say that to me anymore. I don't like the way it sounds.
That's right.
It's very suspicious.
Okay, she's not an assassin or anything.
We know it because we just got her from an orphanage. She can't be an assassin if we got her from an orphanage and we want the man to
assassins
abuse her.
Are very crafty.
We got her from an orphanage and we want the man to hit her.
It is definitely not protocol to take a stranger into the presence of the princess. I don't even think she should go.
No, she's coming.
She's coming. How about you two stay back here and we'll go meet the princess? He's going to be asking for us.
Okay. At that point, the door slams open forcefully. Boom! And you see a 6'2" man with black hair, black mustache, and a black goatee, which is the little pointy beard.
Hi.
And he looks like he weighs about 220. He's wearing field plate armor, has a long sword on his hip, metal gauntlets, and a helmet under his arm. And he says, "What's the meaning of this?"
"We're getting cleaned up. The princess has asked for us."
He looks at Ralph. "Is this them?" "Yes, my lord." "Lord Baynor, this is Dan. Selena."
These are just some friends.
"Rosie, I think they picked her up on the road here." Mm-hmm. "And I don't know your name."
"This is Brayden."
She says, "Brayden is my name. I'm not going to see the princess."
"Yeah, these
We've
two
already
will
determined
stay.
No, we're all coming.
These two stay.
We're going.
The three of you get in there now. You're clean enough."
"Okay, let's go."
"It's not polite to keep royalty waiting."
"Stay here, Brayden. We'll be back."
"Ralph, you stay with her."
"Okay, I'll take her to the head page and see if she's going to be allowed to stay on at the retreat."
"Please, not yet."
"Yes, no."
"Yes, I have to. She's
okay,
not
okay,
allowed to be here unless
please,
she's supposed to be here."
"Please don't say
anything. You can't just keep bringing
back
home every stray orphan person you meet."
"She's not an orphan, and technically we were told to stay with her, so."
Ralph says, I don't know if she's an orphan or not. But I'm just telling you, you just can't go taking people out of orphanages and bringing them to be palace pages without permission." The knight is scowling, and his scowl is getting deeper and deeper
okay,
as
let's
time
go.
Passes on.
Come on,
let's go, let's go. Rosie, come on.
I just want to walk. I just stopped walking.
As you're walking at single file down the hallway next to the big, bulky knight, and he says, "When we enter the room, you will make proper obeisance to the throne. You will not speak unless spoken to. You will not answer in anything except for short sentences. Do not say anything imprudent."
"Do we put our weapons away?"
Your weapons are required to be left in that room.
"So they are, and I will close the door and go get them over done."
"Would we allow that?"
"Very well. We are here. Stand here, I will announce you."
So did he go in the room?
He opens the door and heads in now.
Is it just the three of us in the hallway?
No, there are two guards as well.
Gosh. So I lean over to them and whisper, "Is this part of our plot?"
"I don't know, just stop. These people.
Her what? What did you say?
Is this our fault? That says it's this month. Oh. Someone else. It's okay. Not our fault.
I don't know. Just be quiet. Those people.
Hope.
I'm not.
The door is open.
Scared me so bad.
He says, and he's a little softer this time. He says, proceed single file with me, please. Okay, which of you is in the front?
Me. Me.
Okay, after you get done wrestling for front, who's in the front?
Me.
Okay. All right. So the two, you got like, I'll go first. And then she just walks in.
I walk in a second.
Okay.
Fine.
She doesn't even know. Rosie just goes like, we're all wrestling. Like, we're gonna be free. Bye.
Okay. Let's
What color hair do you have again?
I don't remember.
It's on your character sheet.
I am so.
It's on the front, in the top section.
Should be.
Say hair.
I have golden hair. Right there. I feel pretty.
Let me see. Golden.
Oh, we both have gold hair.
I have silver.
Okay. So the
gold silver.
So you the two of you walk in, and or the three of you walk in single file, and then he turns sideways, first bows to the princess who's sitting on a throne, and then he turns sideways and he grabs you by the shoulders and he moves you down and he says, stay. And then he grabs you by the shoulders and puts you next to her about 3 feet away. And he says,
I'm not a dog.
Stay.
I'm not a dog.
I'm not a dog.
Are you saying that or are you thinking that?
I'm thinking that.
All right. And he pushes you by the shoulders and he says, stay. Now, while he's putting her in place, the princess cannot see her. And the princess says, this is not Selena. I know Selena. Am I being deceived? At which point he steps aside and she says, oh, there's Selena.
I'm Selena.
Yes, the knight nudges you on the shoulder and says, only speak if spoken to. Okay. Let's see, I'm going to check one thing real quick. Okay, so by now, the side of Dan's face where he got with the cane has swollen considerably, and there is like obvious discoloration. And washing it only made it worse. Like it was covered over by dirt and to wash it off. It's very obvious now. As is your arm is sore and swollen as well from where you got smacked. Okay? And she says, what is it I see before me? Has someone been beating the palace pages?
No.
The knight says, no, m'lady. They had some misadventure in town. Picked up a street urchin and came in dirty and bruised. Selena, have you been in trouble? He says, you may speak now.
No, my lady.
Noble of you to take the burden upon yourself. I am to travel. And as we have not fully solved our previous dilemma, you are to travel with me.
Yes, ma'am.
She says, have you picked up a young charge, a street urchin?
Yes.
Where is she now?
She's going with Ralph, one of our friends, to see if it's okay to be a pain shield, because that is what she wants.
She favors being a page over the streets of Southern Mist Cove?
Yes.
She looks at it. She says, Lord Baynor, you are aware of these events, I assume? Only just, m'lady. They've only returned to the retreat in the last half an hour or so. But I did see her, and young Ralph did take her to speak to someone about her becoming a page. Please see to this matter yourself, and if there is no reason why she cannot be a page, some reason why she is disallowed, then make it so. M'lady, I will as you ask, of course, but it does seem a trivial matter, really.
That's
not isn't
me.
It?
That's not me.
Something small. No, unimportant. She says, I am realizing of late that sometimes something small turns out to be so much more important than anyone could have imagined. And as I will be taking, she seemed to consider for a second, these three with me, I shouldn't like to leave their young charge without anyone of caliber to assist her in getting acclimated. He says, M'lady, as you wish, I will assign someone. She says, Lord Baynor, forgive me. Did I ask you to assign someone? No, m'lady, I'm sorry. You meant for me to ensure that the young palace page, formerly an urchin from the streets of Southern Miss Cove, gets acclimated? Yes, Lord Baynor, is that below you? Too small a thing for your attentions? Not if it pleases m'lady. And it does. What does not please me is that we are still having this conversation many seconds after I already gave the order. As you wish, m'lady, of course.
What's acclimated mean?
Used to her new position. When someone's acclimated, they're getting used to their new position.
Wait, so this is what I'm confused. Does the princess want her to come with us?
No. She's saying that the three of you are going to be leaving with the princess, so she is assigning Lord Baynor to make sure that the girl that you rescued is safe as part of the pages and gets used to her new position, which is well below his station. Like, that's the kind of thing a squire would do.
But what does three attend to mean?
Someone who, like, lives on the street.
Street urchin?
Yeah.
Yeah, an urchin is somebody who has nobody to take care of them. Poor. They usually just beg for money. They're kids who beg for money. So, which is not what she is, technically. You know, she's a former gang member and came from an orphanage, not off the streets. So, okay. She says, ready all of your personal belongings. We will meet in the retreat temple in 1 hour. From there, we will be leaving. You will not be coming back to the retreat or the palace anytime soon. So, don't leave anything behind. And if there are any affairs that need to be tended to in the palace, you may want to contract with a friend to see to it that they are taken care of.
What's an affair?
Something you need to take care of.
But is my daughter not allowed to come with me then?
Your belongings.
It's here, right? So she said your belongings, so theoretically you should be able to bring it.
Hey.
Because it's here. That. You brought it with you. Here.
Yes, I have it. It's a little yellow boy and his name is Sun.
We're about to get puppies.
Maybe.
Oh my.
Okay. So he marshals the three of you kind of like baby geese out of the room. He's like, okay, go, go, go.
Okay, let's go.
We go.
Right. So you go back to the room, you retrieve your weaponry. Mm-hmm. And Ralph is not there, and Braden is not there, and Lord Baynor says, do you know your way around the retreat enough to get your personal belongings, pack up, and be in the temple in an hour?
Do we?
You think so.
Yeah.
And if not, you can ask somebody.
Yep.
And definitely would not ask Lord Baynor, because he's way above your station. Okay. All right. Very well then. You are dismissed. If you see a healer in that hour, I am certain that they will be able to do something about your bruises.
Yes. And we will try. My apple.
Okay. And he says he goes to leave, and then he stops and turns back, and he says, "A word. For pages, you handled yourself with reasonable detente.
What's that mean?
I suggest you continue to do so. And I thank you for whatever service it is that you are performing for our princess that she considers you valuable."
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I charge you that if where you are going, she should find herself in mortal danger, that you ensure that you would die before she does. Since I cannot travel with you, I will take your oath.
We promise to try as well as we can.
Accepted. Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Rosie? Will you protect the princess with your life?
Yes.
Very well, then. I will not see you in the temple. Fare thee well. Bid ye safe return. And then he steps out and closes the door behind him. All right. So you have about 45, 50 minutes to get your belongings together, finish getting cleaned up, get something to eat, see the healer, and go to the temple. Is that what you do?
Mm-hmm.
Any objections to that list of order? It doesn't have to be that exact order, but that list of things that you're trying to accomplish?
Okay. I do talk to Rosie and Selena. So I'm assuming we're not going to go look at that hole we found in the secret passage.
I was about to say that. I was just saying when we was in the palace. Just say the little thing. We're going to be like, what about the hole?
One of us can at least climb down there. At least see what's down there.
We have an hour. Let's just get ourselves healed and get to the princess.
Perhaps we'll wait for when you return.
Training for a while.
That's true. It's probably been waiting for who knows how long.
Probably.
Come on. I don't want to leave the princess waiting.
All right.
Okay, so you're visiting the healer. So when you visit the healer,
I'm very loyal to the princess.
The healer is able to help you with your wounds.
Yay.
And you will restore back. You're at full hit points.
Yay. I'm not at one anymore, so I can protect the princess.
The healer is able to help you with your wounds.
Okay.
And you also have 20 points.
Yeah.
I kind of gave you a little bit more than you took, actually, but you're only allowed to get
back. 4 hit points.
So. Okay. All right. Various belongings are gathered up.
If there is
something in the way of simple belongings that you do not currently have, say, like a candle, plate, silverware, blanket, anything like that you need, you can get it for free while you're packing up. So you look at your character sheet. If there's anything you think you need, you ask me, you can have it.
Am I going on the ship?
Yep.
So
it doesn't say I have a blanket.
Okay. Would you like one?
Yes.
Okay, write it down.
What things you said?
I mean, anything in the way of dishes, a blanket. I don't think you want to take a pillow because that's kind of inconvenient. But,
do I have
a belt? If you don't have a belt, you could get a belt.
Yeah, I'm going to get a blanket
pen and paper,
too.
Pot of ink.
Oh, I have 2 pieces of paper, but nothing to write with.
You can get a pot and pen, pot of ink and pen if you want.
Feather.
Pencil's right there. Write it down. What do you want?
Yeah, I'm going to get something.
Can you read my handwriting?
I'm going to get something to write.
This is what you have currently. You have extra pants, extra blouse, one of each, 3 sets of extra undergarments, half a bar of soap, 3 meals of iron rations, which is basically like dried food, a half a candle, an apple, small cheese, a small bag of horse feed, a tin of lotion, low boots, water skin, 30 foot of leather cord, a backpack, and a bedroll.
Okay.
So you don't have dishes, so you could get a like a plate and silverware, or plate and like fork and spoon.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that.
You don't have. You don't have a belt, but you technically don't need one.
Right.
Unless you just want one for, in case something comes up. Anybody wants an extra set of boots can have one as well.
That's a good thing. I'll get boots.
We'll get it all stocked up on from this house before we travel with the princess.
Once I see it down, the box is there.
I still have copper tubing, apparently.
Okay, I have everything I'm gonna need now. I got boots, ink, and a piece of paper, and then I got a blanket, and that's what I got.
Okay.
I got a bed.
I have silver right now. Really
all right, anybody can have an extra candle if you want one, too.
I don't have one. I got one.
I only have a candle.
Wait,
have
yeah, could you use that for a squid?
You offered an extra one, is what I'm saying. If you want one.
Okay. But I don't.
Okay.
Oh, I have one. Oh, that's cool.
So, if you have flint and you have a dagger and you have like little like shavings of wood or something like that, you can start a fire because flint makes sparks.
I have.
Or you could just get sticks from the wood and stuff.
Yeah, hey, Rosie, do you have a knife?
Yeah, you still need a way to make a spark. No. That's what flint is for.
You want a knife?
Sure.
You can have a nice knife.
Knife.
Here. So I give her a nice knife.
Your pencil already on your way. Is this pencil?
Nope.
These are pencil, aren't they?
Pen.
No, pen. You don't want to write in pen.
He stole his. Are we still recording?
Yep. Yeah.
We record the whole time.
Oh.
It's fine.
No, because when y'all two was fighting, right. I was like, me.
It was funny.
I can't. There's no video.
Okay.
There's an audio.
Alright.
I think I got everything now.
So, re-equipped slightly. Not much. All your equipment is present. You fed the bird, that kind of thing. You arrive at the building that holds the temple to Athena, which Athena is the Greek goddess of wisdom and battle.
I'm learning about that in Greek.
Okay. And there is a knight standing at the door, and when he sees you approach, he opens the door for you so that you can enter.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The princess is in the main hall. She awaits your presence.
Well, we are heading there now.
Okay. So the three of you head in. Okay. The room has pews, like an old church building, basically. Let's see what this is. And you see the princess sitting on the front pew, and then sitting behind her and back into her left a little bit, although she's turned to the right toward the center aisle. Behind her, back to the left, is the girl that you saw get out and look embarrassed and run into the building. And then standing at the front of the room, kind of with his back to the altar, which has a big long sword on it, which is Athena's holy symbol. You see a man. He's probably in his late 30s, early 40s, you'd say. He has curly salt and pepper hair, which means black and gray. And he has a short-cut beard and a kind of a pudgy nose. And he has a two-handed sword on his back, which is a strange thing to see in the temple of Athena, because her holy symbol is a sword. He does wear a long sword. He does wear a holy symbol of a long sword on his chest, which makes you think like he is the person who runs this temple or whatever. And he looks at the three of you coming in through the side door, and he says, "Come. Come quickly."
Okay, so I come, and I come quickly.
Go walk quickly.
All right. And she stands up, and her gown, she's wearing a formal gown, and her gown ruffles and makes a kind of a type noise as she stands up. And the girl moves around to stand behind her, but on the front row now. So everybody's in front of the front row of pews. Now the room has a 40-foot ceiling, high arches, glass windows at the top, and the sun is raining down thin rays of light, and it's the last rays of the day, so there's kind of an orange hue as the sun is setting outside and it's coming down. Lots of shadows and recesses and dark areas that you can't see into. Balconies, basically, that go above the main floor. The room would easily seat 300 people, but the only people in the room are the three of you, the priest guy who has a two-handed sword on his back and a sword on his chest, that's a holy symbol, and the princess and the girl. That's it. So no other guards, no knights, nothing. You feel kind of amazed to be alone in the room with the princess and just the princess, the priest, and this girl. That's it. And the three of you.
No knights.
That's
how we're going to be traveling, so.
And as you walk forward, the princess says in a soft voice, just as you're arriving in the front of the room, she says, "This is the High Priest Anura. He will be facilitating our travel. We will leave Southern Mist Cove and arrive in North Diamond Cove near my uncle's." How did she say that word? Yeah, she calls him Lord Ryan. She says, "Near Lord Ryan's keep. My cousin, Charlotte, is just about to return home, they say, and she's been through quite an ordeal. I don't know the full details of it, but I know that she is said to be in a sorry state mentally. And I intend to be there to comfort her after her ordeal. You will come to attend me, and perhaps we may get to the bottom of these mysteries that we have been toiling at for some time now. Oh, forgive me." And she looks at the girl. She says, "I suppose you three have never met Sarah."
"No, but we were there when she was walking in."
"Yes. Sarah is the young lady who was formerly struck by lightning in the garden. You know this story?"
"Yes."
"We've now determined that somehow or other the two incidents are indeed related. And Anura will assist us in trying to unravel the mystery further, as he will be accompanying us to North Diamond Cove. While we are there, he will consult Athena, and we will attempt to get to the bottom of the powerfully suspicious circumstances. We leave from here rather than my having left from the capital, because the capital is again plagued by vile storms. That alone is suspicious." And Anura says, "Must I stand by and listen to all the explanation?" "We're going to be together for some time, Anura. Please be patient. They are young." "Milady, I am patient, but it strikes me that we could transport and you could explain all of this to them at your leisure while the five of you are making sleeping arrangements and so on. If something goes wrong during the transport, Anura says, "Milady, nothing could go wrong. Athena will see us through perfectly safely. Anura, I respect you as High Priest, and I know that you are, as such, free from standard protocol, but let us not forget that I am princess and queen apparent to the kingdom of Lomun." "Indeed, milady. I expect respect from all of my citizens, milady. Though I am High Priest of Athena, I am not a citizen of Lomun. Do you think this somehow precludes your giving me respect?" "No, milady. You are due much respect. That is for sure. I'm just not sure how much it carries over to my being required to sit and listen while you school this children. Some days, Anyara, I do not see what my father sees in you. It is known across the kingdom that your father is infinitely more wise than the princess.
That is not respectful. I think that. I don't see that.
She rolls her eyes. Anyara is not even from O'Earth. Rescued some time ago. I chafe against the word rescued, m'lady. So be it.
Better not get a lot.
Brought back to O'Earth, he has risen rapidly in the ranks of the Temple of Athena and is now acting high priest in my father's stead. Trust me when I say to you, he is a powerful man, and his taking this time, a week or possibly two, out of his schedule to assist us in unraveling this mystery is something that merits gratitude. M'lady, are you thanking me? She says, when I am thanking you, you will know. For now, I am simply grateful that you are going to try to attempt. You are going to try to help us unravel the mystery. Once you have unraveled the mystery, or once we have done so with your help, my gratitude will be flowing abundantly. As you say, m'lady, as you say. Children, you should consider yourselves blessed to be allowed to travel in the manner which we are about to travel. None of your age or experience have ever done so. Moreover, it will require that I protect you if we should run into any happenstance. So I will first cast an enchantment upon you. Then we will travel.
Oh.
Do you stand at the ready?
Yes.
Yes.
And I just put my hands on my fists and stuff.
Sarah says, yes. Can't be as bad as getting struck by lightning. And Yara says, if I did not protect you, it could be far worse. He steps back and he clutches his symbol of Athena and he casts a spell. It takes about like 30 or 40 seconds or so. And you feel sort of a rumbling in the floor of the temple. And then there's a low crackling noise of energy that sounds like it fills the whole room. And then it kind of like narrows down to just be around you. And then it's gone. Okay. From that moment on, the four of you, so it's everybody but the princess and Anyara, have a kind of a, just a little bit of a glow to your skin that's sort of yellowish in color. At which point in time, Anyara then casts another spell, and he turns away from you, so you're all looking at his back now, and you can see that he's the big two-handed sword on his back is beautiful, ornate, silver, shiny, gems encrusting in the pommel. I mean, it looks like it's got to be worth priceless gold. I mean, it's really worth a lot of money. And he has hair that is salt and pepper and wavy, but it goes down probably to the middle of his back. And it's tight. It's bound just enough to keep it in, but it's not in a ponytail, so it's flowing down his back. And he raises his hands, and as he does, he goes, and before you, you see a semi-translucent map of what must be the world. You can see continents and the ocean or sea. You see forests and everything, but you're seeing them from like really high up, like you're looking down on it, like 100 miles or whatever down. And then he goes like this, and it gets closer and closer and closer. And you see what looks like the coastline. And then there's a stylized word says moon in an arch across a certain part of the coastline, which you assume must be this country. So basically you're seeing a lit up map that you can see, kind of see through it. You can still see the room on the other side. And as it zooms in, you see the cove, which you assume must be Southern Mist Cove, and the mountains, and then it zooms in and you can see the retreat. And then he puts both hands up and he moves them down, and you see the map go along the shore. And then you see a diamond cove. It's a cove that looks like half of a diamond. The water comes in at a 45 degree angle. And then there's a lot of buildings, of all kinds of buildings and stuff that fill that area. It's a big city. you think maybe the biggest you've ever seen, even though you've been to big cities, it's bigger than Southern Muskoka. And you've never seen them from above in any case. And then on the north side of Sundance Cove, on a hill, you can see a keep. It's a big stone keep with four towers. And you see knights and stuff moving around. And you realize that the picture is alive. Like, you see the sails on ships moving. And you see the trees swaying slightly. And you see people walking in the picture. And then he reaches up and he picks a spot right at the edge of that keep. And he pinches the picture and he pulls it toward him. And it stretches and the image blurs where he's pulling and the outside of the image is all like blur together. You can't see the trees and the mountains anymore and everything. You just see that long stretched energy and he lets go and it snaps back. And when he snaps back, you get the sensation that all three of you plus Sarah plus the princess plus Anura are all being swept into the map. And you get this really funny feeling in your stomach, like riding a roller coaster for the first time ever. Down a really fast hill, and you feel shake and vibration and temperature change, and we'll stop there.
Are we going to do experience?
No, I think we'll wait and do experience next time.
Then can we keep going?
Nope. It's time to be done. Done has come.
It doesn't feel like it's been that long.
It's been longer than that long. We went longer today, actually.
He weren't kidding when tables were gonna be turned.
Yep.
Right, so someone was fighting and going on a trip.
And now we're just. It looks like they're warping somewhere.
We'll find out.
Oh, should we make this into a movie?
Someday maybe.